Think of something you love to do. Love to do. I mean, something that you could do 10 hours a day, 8 hours a day, whatever the number of hours, but you could like do it a lot and still love it. I mean, really, really love this activity. Juices you. Breathe the way you breathe when you're doing that. Put the look on your face like you do when you're partaking in that particular activity. Okay? And by the way, is this different than where you were a moment ago in your physiology, yes or no? Yes. What do you say out loud or to yourself when you're in this state? So now you're changing in more of the physiology and some of you using language. And what do you believe when you're doing this? What do you believe that makes you feel like? What's your belief? What are you certain it's going to make you feel like? Now let me ask you a question. This is probably pretty effortless for you, right? Think about this for a moment. Do other people find this situation that you selected difficult? Some things, no. Some things you'd say, no, everybody likes to do X. But how many of you have something you love to do that other people don't like to do? And they even think, they say, how could you do that? How could you be so disciplined? Or how could you get yourself to do that? And you go, I just love it. How many have something like that in your life? Great. I'm about to show you something that is so simple. You can use this for the rest of your life. Let me point this out. Think of this thing you love to do and tell me on a scale from 0 to 10, what's your level of certainty that it'll make you feel comfortable, make you feel good versus pain.
All right. So as Tony just said, think of an activity that you love to do. And what I want you to do in a second is pause the audio. Write down this activity and then go through each of the six human needs and rate the level at which this activity meets each of those needs on a scale of 1 to 10. If you're in the car, I want you to think about this and write it down later. So think of an activity you really deeply love and rate the level at which it meets each of your needs. Let's go. Pause the audio.
Now, how many of you rated all six of these in this category in a range of 8 or above? Raise your hand. Keep your hands up, look around the room. This is why you love it. Now, some of you did not rate all of it 8 or above, but how many would say that 4 of the 6 you rated 8 or above? That'll get the balance of you. Now, anything that meets 3 or 4 of these needs, you're going to have a major drive for. Anything that meets all of them at high levels, like 7 or above, especially if those are 8, 9, or 10 or above, you're going to find effortless. Now, think of something you need to get yourself to do, but you just don't do it. You know you should, right? You know how important it should be, but it doesn't, you know, somehow you don't make it important. You want to do it sort of, but you just don't follow through. Better yet, think of something you hate to do. You'd much rather hire somebody else to do it. You put it off whenever you can, and you absolutely detest it, or something you just prefer not to do. The more intense, the better. Let's rate it.
Okay, so just like we did for the activity you love, this time think of an activity that you hate to do and rate the level at which it meets each of your needs on a scale of 1 to 10. You know what to do, so pause the audio.
What have we learned? If there's something that you love to do, it's because you associate it meeting most of your needs. And if it's something you avoid, it's because you currently associate that it violates most your needs. You look at anybody who's a peak performer in anything, and the only difference between them and other people is they work harder because they love it, because they have developed a set of beliefs. They notice, appreciate, or believe something about that you're not noticing, appreciating, or believing. Or they have a strategy for doing it that's different. Let me give you an example. Man I know, I talked to him, and he was massively overweight. He's a good friend of mine. I like him a lot. And I never push what I do on anybody, but I finally decided for his health as a friend, I had to intervene. So I went to him and I said, listen, I said, let me talk to you some. I said, I want to teach you something. I taught him this little technique, and I said, tell me something. What do you love the most on the face of the earth? Guess what he said? Eat. I said, no kidding. I said, okay, on a scale from 0 to 10, what's your level of certainty that eating will give you pleasure? He said, level 15. He said, it'll give me pleasure, give me total comfort. If I'm stressed and I eat, wham, I feel great. It's so wonderful. It's such a gift in my life. I said, okay. What's your sense of variety from eating? And I thought, you don't really get variety from eating, do you? And I really didn't think he would. He said, are you kidding? He said, 20. There's so many different foods and so many different places you can eat them. They can be prepared so many different ways. And his eyes lit up and he got so excited. It was like amazing. I said, you got to be kidding. He said, no, if I ate like you, there'd be no variety. That's why I don't eat like you. Now, with every behavior that a person has, as they try to meet their needs, they tend to have one or two that are really they're getting the biggest bang for their buck from. Of the two I've said so far, which one do you get the bigger hit from based upon his physiology, would you say? Variety. I said, what about significance? He goes, no, I didn't get significance from eating. And so I thought, okay, is he right about that? I said, wait a second, though. You won't even go with me to a salad bar because you're too snooty about it, right? You say it's a pig's trough. He said, well, that's because I'm a connoisseur. A connoisseur. Is that an identity that gives you a sense of what? Significance. He goes, oh, you got me. Okay, a 10. He says, it is. I eat significant food. Significantly prepared in significant places with significant people. I said, what about connection and love? He said, oh, 15. Connection and love from food? He said, no, I just never eat alone. He said, I'm always with people who I really care about. And that's like a time that I'm busy working. I'm all stressed out, but I go, and when I eat, I'm with people I care about. People I work with, people are my friends. It's just a wonderful time, breaking bread together, you know? He said, I love that. 15. I said, what about growth? I said, that seems to be working. He said, yeah. He laughed. He said, but it is true. But I also, he said, I grow emotionally and spiritually. He said, because when I'm eating, I'm with my friends, and we talk about ideas that really matter, significant ideas, and we grow together. He said, I give that probably a 10. I said, contribution? He said, 10, because when I'm eating, I'm sharing ideas, you know, and, you know, I'd probably give that a 10 too. So why does he eat massive amounts on a regular basis? Is he what I would call primary vehicle for meeting his needs? Why is it primary? Because it meets everything, all six, at a huge level of fulfillment. So is he going to be driven to that? He would only change if for some reason, even though it meets many of his needs, it simultaneously was meeting them, but was costing some. And a person in his life started talking to him about somebody intimate, how they weren't as attracted to him anymore. And what that provided was a little opening, a little what we would call leverage. Because the only way we change is when we link enough what to our current behavior, pain, and that changing will equal even more what? We'll deal with the pain we know because at least we have certainty about it rather than the unknown, which could be worse. Why would he not stop, though? Well, he might lose a little love, but, geez, it meets everything else. Certainly there must be some other way than stopping eating to do this. You know, I mean, I can't give up all these things. And so then he goes through a battle. So then he rationalizes, she really doesn't love me. She's not that important to me. Because if she loved me, she'd accept me the way I am. In order for him to maintain a vehicle that meets all of his needs. Because when we go through the list of how she meets his needs, she is not as certain and predictable to feel good all the time as the food is. How many follow? And he wonders why, for some reason, his relationships don't last, because he's found a vehicle that he thinks is more fulfilling based on his current belief structures. How many follow? So I said, well, tell me something you hate to do. He said, that's easy. Exercise. What a wonderful combination, right? So eating mass numbers of food, by the way, excess food, class 1, 2, 3, or 4. 3, feels good in the moment, right? Is it good for him? Good for others? So the greater good? No, it's just class 3. So where he is not going to change because he's got a class 3 that fulfills him, but it really doesn't make him grow long-term and contribute long-term. He won't feel fulfilled long-term. He'll feel bad. And inevitably, it'll affect his relationships. Inevitably, it'll cost him connection, won't it? It'll cost him significance, because inside, when he's honest with himself, he doesn't feel significant when he can't even control his own body and his own eating. So it's only for the moment it meets those needs, not long-term. See, class 1 experiences and class 2 will meet these needs long-term, not just for the moment. That's the power of those particular classes of experience. Okay? So I said, well, tell me about exercise. 0 to 10. What's your certainty that it'll be comfortable or pleasurable? He said, are you kidding me? Minus 20. He said, it's painful. That's why I don't do it. I said, okay, what about variety? Variety? He said, variety? Are you insane? He said, getting on that treadmill like some sweaty rat going nowhere like an idiot for an hour? Now, do those language patterns maybe affect his belief and his ability to maybe feel fulfilled in variety level? And he's got a lot of emotional intensity about it and physiology about it. He said, there's no variety. Minus 30. I said, 30? He said, 30. I said, we're only 0 to 10 scale. He goes, trust me, it's minus 30. Now think about it. What was the greatest reward of the six needs that he got out of the food? Which was the biggest one? What's the one that cost him the most on the exercise scale? So far, variety. And I can tell you long-term variety. I said, what about the sense of significance? He's not going to be significant when you're a sweaty rat going on this treadmill. He's using a language pattern called a metaphor that makes it much worse than it is. In fact, take something that's really good and makes it bad. Where's that? Minus 10. Connection and love. Connection and love is a 0. Growth. If I were to do it, a 2. Contribution. I guess it'd be contributing. 1. Now, is it too hard to figure out how to predict his behavior? So you come along and say, let's have you go on a diet. What are you really saying to him? Let's have you find, take away the only way you know how to be totally fulfilled instantaneously in all levels at the ultimate level, and let's replace it with pain. Is he going to do it? And say, and by the way, while you're on the diet, let's exercise you. Let's move you to minus 20. So you say, Tony, so what do we do? The first step to creating a change is getting an awareness. What I've spent this afternoon with you doing is starting your awareness so you can start to say, I know why I'm doing this. I can figure it out. There's only 6 reasons I'm doing it. What's the level of fulfillment I'm getting each of these 0 to 10? And you're going to know why you're doing anything. Listen, think about it. When you have one vehicle for fulfillment, you live in fear. Because what happens if that relationship disappears? Then your life disappears. What happens if your identity is you're the CEO of this company, and by that you get significance, and by that gives you certainty, and by that you have connection and love with everybody, and by that you have variety, and by that you grow and contribute, and then the company goes under, downsizes, right sizes, or someone else buys the company. You lost your identity, it's over. Let me tell you something. The only way to be fulfilled long term is to have multiple vehicles for fulfillment. You have to have multiple identities today in the world we live in if you want to have certainty. You can't just be a mom only, because there'll be a day when your definition of mom will not be met by the rules you have now, because your kids grow up and they leave the house and you go, what happened to my connection? My primary tool for connection is my kids. My primary tool for significance was my kids. My kids being with them provide all this variety. I was certain I'd feel good being with my kids. They're gone. I can call them on the phone, but it's not the same. Anybody here relate to this? Okay? And so that process, you got to have more than one identity. Otherwise, you're setting yourself up, and that's why people live in fear. And so then they turn to something, drugs, alcohol, food, TV, something else, to try and distract them because they're not fulfilled long-term here. Does that make sense? So what do you do with this person? You first get some awareness. If you're going to help them, you got to get the awareness. You're going to help them, they have to have the awareness. The awareness of the consequences of a particular vehicle, activity, thought. Awareness of consequence is the most important thing, though. Can't just be aware I have this belief. You have to get that awareness so it becomes emotional and you start going, oh my God, this belief is destroying my life. This pattern of saying this is destroying my life. This body movement I do, I go into on a regular basis or get this disgusted look on my face, it is destroying the joy of my life. When you then begin to associate massive what to it? Pain. You now have the motivation to change as long as you also have come up with an alternative. One that you feel equally certain will give you the pleasure you desire. How many follow that? So alternatives must be equally fulfilling or more fulfilling than the past ones, and then they must be conditioned.
So as Tony said, vehicles are methods a person uses to try to meet their needs, and they can do it in a way that's empowering, disempowering, or neutral. As a leader, you can help someone identify ways they are meeting their needs that are not good for them and find vehicles that can meet the same needs in a more fulfilling way. Tony shared with you that one example of the man who worked long hours at the office as the vehicle to meet all 6 of his needs, and he was not spending as much time with the kids because his needs weren't getting met at the same level. However, it's possible to create new ways to meet those needs by determining what other things he could do to add to his fulfillment. Tony mentioned one key way is to change your triad, your physiology, language, or beliefs about how a vehicle could meet your needs. With this man, if he changed his perception of how his kids could give him variety, his needs would be met at a higher level. Remember he said that he got little variety because his children were too young to talk? What if he focused on all the variety they added to his life by noticing the funny things they said or did. Would that most likely add more variety? You can also combine vehicles to make an experience even more fulfilling or pleasurable. Let me give you another example. Let's say you hate cleaning your house, but you love listening to music. One way to enhance your experience of cleaning would be to blast some music and just dance around a little bit. Wouldn't that make it more fulfilling? Now that you are aware of how vehicles meet the six human needs, is this something you can help others with to make a difference in their lives and give them new empowering alternatives? We're getting ready to move into our last skill of the day, which is on a separate audio. So either start the next audio now, or if you want, take a quick stretch and come back to join Tony as he goes through transformation of vocabulary.
This session continues on the next CD.